Welcome to Shooting Spaces, our sort of real estate photography podcast. And today we're having a roundtable discussion. But how are you, Brian?
Good. Can't complain. Yeah. All is well. Busy. I was saying to you earlier, Rich, I shot my first real estate shoot of the year today. For those who are listening, it's the end of February. So I feel like I'm back in the real estate industry. Back ready to do this episode.
Excellent. Excellent. And it's been a little bit slow this year, but that's sort of by choice. But it's early, guys. Remember, it's going to get busier and it's going to get better. So, and what are we doing today, Brian?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty excited. We have our first ever crossover. Is that the best way to to call it?
Yeah,
exactly. With our fellow podcasters from Upmarket Podcast or Upmarket Media or both, for that matter, Reed and Mark, who many of you have met at PMRE, many of you have heard on their podcast and their course. But welcome, guys. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good God.
Happy to be here with you guys. I've been listening for a long time, and Reed was on before. I missed out on that episode, so I'm happy to be here with you guys this time.
Yeah, I think Mark is the nicer, smarter, and, well, not as handsome. He's the less handsome, but he's all the other stuff is Mark, and I bring, like, the looks. So, you know.
Well, Mark, that's what I was going to say.
That's not why we specifically had you only last time, but
pretty boy. Well, come on. I mean, you know, we got it.
Yeah, the shoes. I don't forget the shoes. Reed always brings the shoes.
Yeah, I always bring the shoes.
Cool. So before we get into it, we want to, as always, just give a quick word from our sponsors. So let's get a quick word from HD Photo Hub.
HD Photo Hub is the complete solution for any photography business that needs a professional white label platform that automates payment collection, scheduling, and photo delivery, all without monthly contracts or fees. HD Photo Hub is all about your business and your brand. They don't put their logo on any of your order forms or sites, and they even integrate with the email services and automation tools you are already using today. Hey, they even have live customer support to help you get started. Visit hdphotohub.com and sign up for a free one-on-one demo or live webinar to learn more.
That's great stuff from HD Photo Hub. We love our sponsors and believe in them. And I'm just so blessed that 2023, we have the same sponsors we started with. So that means something. We're really, really very happy campers here. So today, go ahead.
No, I was just going to interject. Sponsors are the best. We love sponsors. We love all your sponsors.
The irony is that our main sponsor and your main sponsor are a little competition.
Well, that's fine. No irony at all.
And they're cool about it.
Who's a podcast? Yeah.
There was no one that too.
And they always say colleagues over competition, right?
There you go. Exactly. It's the crossover, man. It's all of this. Yeah.
That's it.
Cool. So, Reed, I just wanted to get into this and just want to start by saying I want to go from Reed and then to Mark and just go into do really quick introduction. And, tell us about we're talking today about the podcast. So it's, we want to know about your podcast, and people obviously know about our podcast. So come give us a few seconds of your time.
Sure. So we're Upmarket Pod and Upmarket, well, I guess podcast, but Upmarket is the name of our company, Upmarket Media, where, you know, we do, just like so many of the listeners to this podcast, real estate media, photo, video, 3D. For, you know, realtors. But our podcast, Upmarket Pod, is focused on the business of real estate, photography, and media. And that's where we feel like we started that podcast in order to talk about that subject. Because Mark and I, our story is that, and we got into it on the episode, I was on the Shooting Spaces, you know, I don't know, 6 months ago or whatever it was, talking about our journey and where Mark and I, we were two solopreneurs, like, you know, we were solo shooters, and then we merged our businesses. We came together 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, and formed Upmarket Media and combined our clients, combined our businesses together and started scaling that way. And so we started our podcast to kind of chronicle that journey and talk about the journey of scaling. Right, Mark?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was never our intention to kind of teach people how to shoot real estate. It was always our intention to kind of, all right, you're already at this level. Like, how are you going to grow? What are you going to do? And these are some different options and kind of tracking our journey and what we've done, warts and all, you know?
Yeah, definitely warts and all.
Well, I think the best part of that, or I know that that's been the situation for me over the last 5 years since we started, is by kind of chronicling your journey, you know, forever. It's there. It's out there.
Yeah,
permanently.
Yeah, we're not deleting episodes.
It helps you, it helps hold you accountable. You know what I mean? Because there were times 4 years ago or 3 years ago on some of our episodes where I've said, I want to eventually stop doing real estate photography. And not that it really matters at the end of the day if I never did, but you know, when you have listeners listening to you say that, they want to see you succeed with your goals. They want to see you push and make those goals happen. And not that you're failing people if you don't, because you know, you're entitled to take whatever route you want in life and your business, but it helps hold you accountable to achieve those goals because you put it out there in front of however many hundreds or thousands of people are listening.
Yeah, no, totally. And something, you know, Reed and I have found is like just having that hour or two to sit down between the two of us. Like, we don't really hash out everything we're going to say on the episode. We're like literally talking through it on the episode. So that's been invaluable, like just for the business and for us to kind of get on the same page with stuff. And so it kind of helps your business. It kind of comes back around.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we've had so many breakthroughs on the podcast where we're just kind of talking and somehow, I don't know, when you're podcasting, it's this weird thing where the truth comes out. Like, even if you're like trying to be guarded or you're trying to be whatever, somehow inadvertently the kind of interior life of your ideas or what you're thinking about in the recesses of your mind actually end up coming out. And I think, you know, not that Mark and I have had like raw moments, but I think there's been moments of many moments of clarity between the two of us, and about how we relate to each other and what we're thinking about the business have just come up naturally in the podcast. And even with, you know, our producer and slash, you know, office manager, Chelsea, who's on the pod a lot. I mean, we've all had those moments on the podcast where it really just crystallizes something. So for us, the opportunity to just talk about our business all the time has actually been a boon to our business. And so we started this podcast to try to help other people, but I think the people it's helped maybe more than anyone is ourselves. I mean, it's maybe a little cheesy to say, but I think it's absolutely true.
Definitely, it could be cheesy. No, there's something to that though, because you when you're thinking to talk out loud, it's different than when you're just thinking internally, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
For sure. People who don't do this might not understand it, but the four of us do, so I said it.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, when you're sitting there with, you know, your business partner and talking for now, it's just an authentic conversation. And that's what our listeners, I find, are kind of connected to. And I'm sure it's the same for you. It's just like, you just keeping it real. You're just sharing your journey, your knowledge, where you're at with things, and people connect with that.
Cool. So, I mean, we're about 170 episodes in. You're just a little bit behind us.
We're releasing, we just released our 27th episode.
Oh, wow.
You know, we're coming up on 28. So we are a bit behind, but we're getting there. And if you guys are doing once a month, we're going to catch up in like 4 years, we're going to be caught up with you.
Yeah, we're cranking them out.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. So let's talk for a minute before we get into the nitty gritty, just for the sake of it. I mean, what's it like podcasting for this type of industry? I mean, you know, we're in February of 2023 now. It's releasing in March. And Rich, I don't know if you know this, we actually released our first episode in February. So we literally just approached 5 years. We released the first episode in 2018. What's it like? What are you, like a year in now, guys? Maybe give or take?
Almost. We're coming up on it, yeah.
So what do you guys think? Highs, lows, worth it, not worth it, pain in the ass, regret it?
Well, I want to start by saying this was all Reed's idea, Ron. I'm like, oh, man, are you serious? We're going to do a podcast?
And you're going to use that to the grave.
Yeah.
All your fault, Reed. It's all your fault, Brian.
Totally.
There's always one instigator, and, you know, he did drag me in, but I knew it was a good idea, and he kind of takes the lead, as most of our listeners know. But it's, you know, it's been a learning journey for the both of us, and I'm so glad that we've done it.
Yeah, it is amazing, but it, of course, is also hard. And I'm not violins on this. Like, I'm not looking for pity. It's not like it's that hard, But you do have to, I think if you want to do a good podcast, you have to think about it. You have to work at it. And I think we've worked really hard to make sure that we have a format that works, a format that's repeatable, and that we're always giving information that is usable for our listeners and that is authentic. I mean, I think the number one thing that Mark and I have thought from the very beginning is that we want to be our authentic selves on the podcast. And we want to talk about our business, you know, warts and all. And I don't know exactly what our goals were, you know, now a year later, what our goals were coming into the podcast. I mean, at the time when we started, I knew that I was going to be giving a presentation at PMRE in the fall. So that was like 7-8 months away. And I was not someone who had a name in the industry. I wasn't in the Facebook groups. No one knew who I was. No one knew who Mark was. You know, I think Mark was in the groups, but much more of a lurker. So we were just complete unknowns in the industry. And Brandon Cooper had seen something in our conversations that I had had with him and had offered me a spot to speak at the conference. And I thought, well, I want to have some credibility when I walk on that stage. So, you know, maybe we can start a podcast. And we just decided to do it. And then I think that the rewards of the podcast have been so much more than we could have ever anticipated. And the feedback we've gotten from people, that I think we've had a lot of people just say, oh, I see myself in what the journey that you guys are taking. And just that has been rewarding. But just like we talked about, the chance to sit down and talk about our business all the time has helped our business. But then it's also, you know, put us out there in different ways where, you know, now we have the course and now we have, you know, other opportunities that have come our way, I think, because of the podcast that, you know, we just couldn't have foreseen.
No.
So it's great, but it's also hard. You know, we still have to come up with topics and guests and, you know, everything else. So, you know,
around the time and, you know, make it happen.
Yeah.
No, for sure. I mean, like we were saying earlier, we're 170 episodes in. So coming up with original content is not as easy as it was 120 episodes ago.
And, you know, you got to think that this industry is what it is. I mean, there's a lot to goes with it, but at the same time, you're just shooting houses and you're not just, but you know, that's such the core part of the business that you can only talk about that so much. But you know, someone is always pushing the envelope. It's always, social media is always changing. I mean, all this stuff, there's always stuff going on, but it can be hard to come up with those, you know, fresh takes on everything, which is why we don't do a weekly podcast. Could you imagine?
Oh, we did that for what, Rich? 80 something episodes.
Mm.
Like we were weekly, yeah, 80 something episodes, about a year and a half.
Not necessarily intentional every week, but it was pretty close.
Wow.
But you know, and it just things, it's organic and it happens. It's like conversations with people, and hopefully you can bring on people that are not only informative, but are enjoyable and you like talking to like you guys.
Yeah. One of the biggest rewards for me is like we've had multiple people reach out and say, oh, you guys have inspired me. I'm going to partner with another photographer in my city and we're merging. And we're like, holy crap. Like, you know, people are out there listening. They're taking it in. It's resonating with them. And they're actually, you know, making business decisions and moving forward.
We had at least three different entities reach out and say, hey, we heard what you guys were doing. And now we've decided to merge our companies together. So there are at least three new companies out there that happened just because of the podcast. That is crazy, honestly.
And there's an episode every year, you know, it's like a follow-up. So how's it going this year?
Yes,
look,
right.
You've been doing it for 27 years. How's this year doing?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
No, I think it's a great idea. And it's something I would definitely think about if that was in a position that I was going towards or in. But I'm not, you know, I'm a solo guy and I am just not really building. I'm not scaling up my business. So
yeah.
It's a different situation, but I think it's a great idea. And, you know, and let me ask you about the podcast though. Are you, like brainstorming, during the week and you're going, well, let's do this and let's do that. Do you have things in the can that are ready to go then that you can release? You know, you do a couple of 2-3 episodes in advance and then you're ready for the next 3 months?
Or are you just as disorganized as us?
Or winging it. Yeah.
Somewhere in between, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. I think that, you know, is there's been a couple episodes where we're like, well, we know we need to record today because it's going to come out tomorrow. So does anyone have a topic? And then there are ones like, you know, the episode that came out on the last one, you know, on February 28th, we had recorded like, you know, 12 days ahead of time. And so occasionally we're above, you know, we're ahead of the game. And we have a, you know, we have a Google, an internal Google Doc with, you know, a bunch of podcast ideas. But, you know, it is, it's that fine art of figuring it out. And we're trying to get our workflows down, but it's hard. It's definitely hard because everything, you know, the upmarket media business in a way always takes precedence over it, right? So if Mark is out, because I don't really shoot anymore, but if Mark can be out there shooting and, you know, getting, you know, $1,500 for the company that day, you're like, okay, Mark, go ahead, go do that. We'll just, you know, we'll take, we'll do the podcast some other day.
Yeah. And we have a, you know, a decent list of potential guests that we have kind of lined up. And it just depends when that kind of falls into place, we'll record it and kind of have it in the can for when we want to release it down the road.
Yeah. And I think, but part of it is that because our podcast is not necessarily devoted to just having kind of outside guests where we're talking about our internal business quite a bit. It is a lot of it is like coming up with, well, what about our business is interesting enough or can hold an episode? And kind of we're in a way we're kind of following what's happening in our business. We are, you know, whatever is kind of on our plate is kind of what we're talking about. What we've been talking about lately is these big deals. We've been working on these, like now it just keeps mushrooming to these giant brokerage deals. And talking about it, kind of expanding our market media out of our, you know, general vicinity here. And so that's taking up a lot of our mental space. So naturally, that's what we're going to talk about on the podcast.
Cool. So speaking of brokerage deals, Nima asked a question about that, but okay. I don't want to get into it yet because we haven't talked a little bit about anything. So Nima, we're going to hold on your question, but we will get back to it. But let's talk a little bit because Richie started segueing into how you're a solo shooter and you guys were talking about merging your business. So let's kind of go somewhere in between because merging your business is obviously one form of scaling up. So you both ran your independent businesses as Rich and I do currently. And then you decided to merge as a way of scaling up. So let's get into the whole concept of scaling up because that's basically what you guys push. You're the scaling up gurus. Reed, you're on stage in front of 350 people.
Yeah,
of course. You guys know what you're doing. You have a podcast. You have everything. So let's talk a little bit about pros to scaling up or not even that. Why would somebody even want to consider scaling up to begin with? You know, you run a good business. Rich runs a good business. I mean... Uh-huh. I run a good business. I don't shoot much real estate anymore, but I run a good business. You know, what's the purpose to scale? And it's funny we talk about this because, you know, Reed, as you know, I've explained to you, I'm in the process of scaling up my business too in a different way. But but taking your advice and what you're preaching, and you know, we can get into that a little bit if we want to. But what's the purpose of scaling up? How does it benefit, you know, a successful solo shooter?
Mark, why don't you take that? Because I feel like I've talked for hours on this.
Yeah. I mean, for anyone at PMRE that saw Reed's, you know, he kind of led into this really well. It's basically like for both of us, we were good, if not great, at what we were doing by ourselves. And it had gotten to the point where it's like, I felt hit a ceiling or kind of peaked at what we could do by ourselves. And then anything beyond that, instead of it being like, oh, my business is growing and building, it just became more and more stress, like, oh my God, I can't take on one more client. My calendar's full. I'm already backlogged on invoices. I'm already like my mental space and my physical time was kind of maxed out already. So it was like something had to change at that point. It's like you kind of felt like you're at a crossroad. It's like you had to do something. You either had to do, you know, the Brian Berkowitz way and like maybe go into higher end stuff and commercial stuff. But continuing to take on more residential real estate and just doing it by yourself was just like, I feel like Reed and I kind of came together right when we're both at that level ourselves of just like, something's got to give because we're like hitting the ceiling.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a volume play though. Because you know what, but when I was still shooting real estate, let's say a year and a half, 2 years ago, and I was going full force with real estate, all my listings were luxury type listings with multiple services. So I was going out and doing them myself, and I was, you know, maybe shooting 3 to 4 listings a week, but each job was $2,500 or you know, between $1,500 and $2,500 because they were all the services. So, you know, I wasn't working my ass off. I was doing one job a day, coming home, had enough time to invoice, sending my work out, and I wasn't burnt out, you know?
Yeah. Well, good for you. But we,
I'm just saying, like, you know, scaling up like you guys did, is it mostly for volume guys? Is that the best?
Well, I think, you just come to a crossroads, and then you have to decide what you want to do, right? So in my talk, I talked about, well, you reach this point, and so you can do a few things. And one is almost at meme status, and that's do nothing, and it ruins your life. But you can also do the Brian's method, or, you know, whatever. You move into commercial, move into retail, or just, or the other one is just drastically raise your prices. And so if you raise your prices enough that you lose half your clients, well, you're going to be making the same amount of money and working half as much, right? So that's the way you have to go about it. Or you can scale. I mean, and I think for people who are doing volume and in our market, even though we're in California and it's kind of by the beach and everything else, it's a bit limited. Like, I don't think Mark or I feel like we are in an absolute luxury market where we're going to have those clients who are going to spend $2,000, $2,500 per shoot. So you're realizing that most of our clients are going to max out at $300 or $400 per shoot. So it becomes a volume play, and it becomes this thing where we need to be able to send staff out to service those shoots. And then that's how we're going to be able to pack enough of those in to actually make real money. Because, you know, one of the things, and Mark is much better at things and much smarter and all those things that we talked about earlier, you know, Mark owns a home. I don't own a home. I still rent a home because it's freaking expensive here. You know, a starter house is like $850,000. And so how are you, even if you're charging $325 for a basic shoot, which is what we're starting to charge on March 1st, it's like, how are you going to buy a house on that? You can't do enough shoots, you know, to do that. So it has to be at volume. It has to be at scale. And the kind of the biggest consideration, I think, is actually your work-life balance, right? Is what do you want your life to look like? And for me, realizing that I did want to make more money, but I also, even more importantly, wanted to spend time with my kid, wanted to make sure that I had a strong family life, that's what really drove my inclination to want to scale.
Well, there's just so many hours in the day, though. So basically, what Mark, you're shooting, and Reed, you're doing all the business. So you're accepting that 50% of the work that you were doing, Mark, is taken away by Reed, and vice versa. So you're coming to that, but it must be scaling up more than that. There must be something else in there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we have multiple shooters in the field now.
You have the other shooters. How many shooters do you have?
So in addition to me, there's 3 other full-time shooters.
Oh, great. Okay.
And we're in the process of hiring a 5th right now, so.
Fantastic. That
feeds into it, and I don't really look at Reed as taking 50% of what I'm bred. It's just more like, you know, we have everything goes into the pot, and then it gets distributed.
Yeah.
Reed brings a ton of value to the business, obviously, in different ways that I could never do, so. Mm-hmm. That was the biggest thing, is like, how do we pool our resources? Because we're just better and bigger and stronger together than we ever could be by ourselves.
Yeah. And I think Mark and I have kind of I don't know if it's unique, but it is a bit of kismet that we came together. And I think that each of our strengths are maybe the other person's weakness. And so I think us coming together, it is this kind of yin and yang that really have complemented our business. And that I think... And I talk about it on the podcast, where it's like, I'm the guy who comes up with the big dumb ideas, and Mark is the guy who makes sure that the nitty gritty details are taken care of. So without the big dumb ideas, like we couldn't do all these things that we're doing with, but without Mark with the nitty gritty, the big dumb ideas would have nowhere to go. Right. And they're not actually dumb, but they're just, it can seem dumb when you're sitting there as a solo shooter with no time and, you know, no resources to go about it. But, you know, where, you know, w- without like it was my idea for the podcast and I'm absolutely the driving force behind it. But without Mark being able to handle so much of the other stuff, we could have never done the podcast. And the podcast has done so much to build our business. I guess that would be, you know, a really good example of it.
100%.
So let me ask you a question. You talked about, you know, hiring five shooters. So I'm going to ask a question that Doug asked. He says, in my previous life, I ran a manufacturing company. I always made sure I hired people better than me to do things I was not good at. Do you do something like that for your photography business? And how does that fit into merging your businesses together?
I mean, the first thing that we did that we agreed to do as soon as we merged was hire an admin help that we thought was initially going to be part-time and like within 2 weeks became full-time. And I mean, there's no doubt that Chelsea is better at many things than Reed and I ever were or could be. So I think we maybe got a bit lucky with our first hire because she's just worked out to be so amazing. As everyone who listens to the pod or met her at PM Marie knows that Chelsea's just a rock star. I've heard other stories of people trying to hire office and admin help where it has not worked out so well. And it's kind of made them pull back and be like, oh, I guess I just got to do it by myself. But because that was our first hire and it worked out so well, I think that kind of fueled us to kind of keep pushing forward. And it gave us a platform to really grow from, because that admin help takes all of that stress out of your head and all of those things that you need to get done. They're just handled and you can really focus on the business.
Yeah. And I think to be honest and not disingenuous with that question, if you are going to be out there trying to hire, shooters at the rate that you're going to be able to pay, you're not going to find someone who's better than you, most likely. You're going to have to train that person. You're going to have to lift them up. You're going to offer them an opportunity to grow and become as good as you are at it. Because most likely, anyone who has got their business to a point where they're good enough to scale, where they're big enough to scale, is probably pretty good at photography or pretty good at video, pretty good at these things. And to find someone who's going to be their equal right at the bat is like the chances of that are pretty small. So it's going to be on you to build up your staff to be as good as you and then ultimately surpass you. And I think we have, like, when we first hired our main videographer, and this was actually happened, we had one employee when we merged, my company, Two Fish Digital, did. And when he came aboard, I was much better at shooting real estate video than he was. He maybe was better versed in like overall video, but I was way better at shooting real estate video than him. And of course, way better at shooting real estate photos. Now we're probably on par shooting real estate photos, and he's like five times better than me at real estate video. So we've given him a platform that he can grow and that he's now been able to surpass both Mark and I, you know, at that skill.
Yeah, for sure.
So you spoke about you guys hired Chelsea first, or an admin was your first hire. Why did you go admin over shooter? Or is there a reason one over the other?
I mean, admin is the key to everything, because it was, and I guess for us, we're coming at it from, like Mark spoke about earlier, where we're just maxed out. You're shooting all day, you come home, you get behind an invoicing, you got to deliver all the photos, you got to do all that stuff. And none of that stuff generates you more revenue, right? The admin side doesn't generate more revenue. So that's where you cap out. You can't grow your business if the admin side is running into basically the amount, working against the amount of time you can shoot. So we both felt like the way that we could make our lives better was to hire an admin. And I think in part to make our lives better, it also opened us up to make more money. That allowed us more time to go shoot. So, I mean, I don't know, Mark. I mean, just admin so clearly was the key. And that was my original pitch to you. It's like, we can hire an admin.
That was part of it. Because like trying to hire an admin as a solo shooter and trying to find time to train that person and the funds to pay them, it's like feels kind of overwhelming as a solo shooter.
Yeah. And it feels like a drain on your pocketbook rather than something that you're doing to kind of build your business. It just feels like money it's not wasted, but it goes against your bottom line. Whereas I think once we came together, we felt like, oh, okay, we had the additional revenue by merging to have that. And then also then it freed up the time to go and do more shoots.
Let me ask you a question, Reed. Because it's that time of year and I'm dealing with taxes right now.
Oh, yes.
And I don't have a lot of subs, and I got pretty easy on that end of it. But did you go into this with your admin and say, hey, I want to really have the taxes streamlined and the whole, did you think of that as you were setting everything up and doing your whole year? Were you thinking of having your taxes ready and everything like that, and trying to think of that, you know, the big picture, because that's always a scary part of things.
Well, of course.
How does that work out?
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things, like when you're starting to scale, you want to, I know what we always say is you want to kind of start where you want to end up. And so like, even if you don't feel like you need it yet, maybe it's, you want to, before you scale, you want to think about what your business entity is. And so, when we merged together, my company actually already was a company. We were an S corp. And so what we did is, when Mark came on, is that we just sold him shares of our company, equal shares. And so we co-own the existing S corp. And so we had that business entity in place, so that then when we were hiring new people, we knew that we wanted them to be employees, and we had a payroll system. They were going to have taxes taken out. We were, we had all these systems set up as we were scaling. And I don't think that if you're going to scale, you have to have everything set up, but I think you want to have a plan for that stuff. Because if you don't think about those things, it can really bite you in the ass. So, but I also think that you want to make sure that you're not letting those things stand in the way of scaling. I think you want to do it correctly, but you also want to make sure that you just do it. And because one of the things that can hold you back is just saying, well, I would do it, but I don't have a corporation, or I don't have an LLC, or I don't have this. At a certain point, you just got to do it. I mean, right, Mark? I mean, is that kind of, I think,
Yeah. And I think, Rich, I don't know if you were getting at this, but as far as like our admin, Chelsea, doesn't really help us like prepare our taxes or do our books. Like, we have a separate bookkeeper that kind of has all that dialed in for us on the back end. Chelsea's more kind of customer service and scheduling and that kind of thing. I worry.
And is that one of the people in your company, or do you use another company for the back end?
We outsource a local bookkeeping company, does all our record keeping.
Yeah. So we have a bookkeeper and a CPA, both. Because those are the things you need if you're going to scale. I mean, like the amount of stuff our bookkeeper does with the size of our business now. I mean, we used to do our own books, but my God, what a freaking nightmare. We're not bookkeepers. And I mean, it can feel expensive, but it's like, my God, your life is so much better. And they also do a so much better job than we could do. And there's going back to that question: Are you hiring people who are better than you at these things? Well, guess what? Our bookkeepers are way better at bookkeeping than we are, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Cool. On that note, we're going to take a quick break for a read from iGuide. We'll be right back.
Are you looking to expand your real estate photography business? Stand out from the crowd by offering 3D tours, accurate room measurements, square footage calculations, and professionally drafted floor plans, all from the click of a button with the state-of-the-art iGuide camera system. Get your first 5 standard iGuides up to 3,000 square feet free by adding the code SHOOTINGSPACES in the referral section at camera purchase. Visit goiguide.com to learn more.
All right. Thank you, iGuide. Now let's, we started talking right before the break about taxes. Rich brought up taxes and bookkeepers and all that stuff. So I don't want to get into the nitty gritty of taxes, but just to kind of harp on a question Bethany asked, she asked about hiring someone W-2s, 1099s. What do you do? Do you have opinions on best practices? Obviously everyone runs their business differently. There was a point in my life when I was a shooter for another volume company, similar to what you guys do. I was one of, I think, 11 shooters, and I was on 1099. I was strictly an independent contractor at that point. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about what you guys do and why you decided to go that route.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I started too, before I kind of branched out on my own. I was a 1099 for a big national company, and, it's a good way to get your foot in the door, but it's, And I think a lot of the way a lot of these companies kind of handle it on the back end, in my understanding, is that they're not really photography companies, that they're like virtual tour companies, or they're software companies that can 1099 photographers because it's not a core part of their business. But for when Reed and I came together as obviously a photography and media company, and the fact that we're based in California with very strict kind of employment rules, like it was clear off the bat that we needed to go the employee route as opposed to the 1099 route. And especially in the last couple of years, there's been a new law that came in here, the AB5 rule. And there's like a test, basically, if you're hiring someone, they have to go through this ABC test. And the main thing that kind of sticks out is that person doing a core part of your business function? And if you're a photography and media company and you're hiring a photographer, then obviously that's a core part of your business, and that person should be technically classified as an employee. So that's why we decided to kind of go that route.
Yeah. And I think you could probably skirt that if you are hiring someone who has their own business or has their own DBA or, you know, or an LLC to kind of subcontract for you, because then that's a business to business transaction. But if you're just hiring like one person, it does become a little, yeah, a lot tricky. And so, yeah, we've always gone the employee route.
Yeah, but that's really a state-by-state thing, obviously. And I know a lot of states are a lot looser than California, so you can just do things differently.
So do you offer, if they're technically employees, do you offer them benefits and all that stuff like a full-time employer does? Or
medical benefits, we do not. I mean, we've been trying to, but it's obviously, it's very tricky, and we're small, right? I mean, if you're under, I don't even know what the threshold is, but if you're under, you know, X amount of employees, you don't have to. I think philosophically, we would like to. I mean, but that is not something we've been able to do. So we do offer, you know, no, we are not able to offer benefits, I guess, is the download from that. But we do try to offer as many perks as we can, you know, vacation days, or we offer, you know, we subsidize cell phones, we subsidize home internet, you know, those type of, you know, the things that people need to kind of execute their jobs, we facilitate them. So we provide gear, we provide, you know, provide all that stuff. And if they're an employee, I think that's kind of what you really need to be doing. You know, they shouldn't be using their own gear.
Yeah. And if you're hiring 1099 contractors, then there's certain rules that you should be following, as far as like, you're not even allowed to teach them what to do. You can't teach them how to shoot in your style. Like technically you can't train them in what you do. You can hire them to shoot, but you can't teach them how you shoot, or you can't dictate their hours, their availability. So it's, you know, if you're by the book, it's a lot more limiting with a 1099. Whereas if you have a W-2 employee, then you pay the mileage and you can train them, you can supply equipment, and you can dictate their hours and things like that.
And I think one of the things that we think about a lot is, you know, how do you be by the book? Because I think that's actually pretty important, and especially when it comes to labor laws. Because as our business advisor, Jeff, is always preaching to us, it just takes one bad experience to, you know, basically to bring you down. Because you can have one person who can say, well, look, you called the I was an employee, but you did this, and or I wasn't an employee and you did this, and they take you to the labor board, and I mean, you're screwed. I mean, you are out thousands and thousands of dollars and lawsuits, and, you know, and you could have sanctions against you. I mean, it's one of those areas where you really want to make sure that you tread, you know, by the book. It's like doing drone work. You know, you want to have your Part 107. You don't want to fly close to an airport unless you have, you know, authorization. I mean, those are things you got to take that stuff seriously. And if you are a serious business person, that's something that you just need to think about. And like, and you know, so many of us just kind of, you know, we start in this business and we make it up as we go because we own a camera and we know how to shoot and we have a realtor who's a friend and they ask us to shoot the listing or whatever. But at a certain point, you have to think about this as a business and treat it as a business and treat yourself and respect yourself as a business person and, you know, do things the right way, or else it could come back to bite you in the ass in a major way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's fine if there's one or two of you and you're kind of figuring it out. But as you grow, and if you have a vision towards expanding your business and expanding areas, then yeah, you want to get it dialed in now and not later.
Right. Because if you have one employee, well, if you do it right, at a certain point, you're going to have 10 employees, and then you're going to have 20 employees. And so you want to make sure that, and that's the thing is, if we just have one employee, it's in my town, he's a cool guy, whatever, most likely nothing's ever going to happen. It's always going to be cool. Even if something goes wrong, the guy's not going to take us to the labor board. But all of a sudden, if you find yourself 2 years later and you have 20 employees, well, you know what? You don't have that personal relationship with everybody. It, you know, again, it could just bite you in the ass.
Cool. So we have a ton of questions. So I think it might be fun to devote the last 15 minutes or so to some of that. But sure. I just do want to ask you about one thing that you kind of mentioned quickly. But I want to talk about it because I think it's important. And I've kind of set up my personal business and life for that. And you spoke about work-life balance. And I think that's so important because we're all workaholics and real estate photographers especially. I mean, I hear of these people that are shooting 10, 15, 20 listings a week. And like, it makes me nervous about somebody working that much.
I've heard of people shooting 9 listings a day.
That's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
But like,
crazy Canadians.
No, but like, in all honesty, like, knock on wood, I've been able to set myself up in a position where I work 3 days a week now. And it's fantastic. I love it. I would shoot 4 if people have deadlines, whatever it is, but it's so important for me and my head is always clear. And you just need it mentally to be able to not have stress and stuff. So, and I know you don't shoot now either, Reed. What was the discovery there where you said to yourself, scaling is the only way for us to really achieve that work-life balance you want in a way? Because otherwise, like you said, Mark, you said you had no time for anything. It wasn't an option.
No. And even like for me, I always still like, I mean, both of my kids, I have 2 young daughters, they're both in ballet and they do it 5 days a week and they have recitals and performances. And I would make time to go to these things, but I'd be there and I wouldn't be there mentally. I'd be like, all the things, oh, I got to do this. And it's just like, even if you can make time to do stuff with your family, your partner, whatever, it's like, you're not really fully there. So for me, it was a way to kind of spread that burden. Because it just started to feel like such a burden to me to keep up with all of that stuff. So to bring on Reed, to bring on the admin, and then suddenly everything kind of felt like it just relaxed a bit and you can actually turn it off rather than it just keeps running like a hamster wheel and you can't get out of it.
No, that's, I don't know. I get stressed when I have like 3 items on my to-do list. I'm like, oh my God, I have so much work to do.
And I think, for me, it does. Not to be in a dark place about it, but at a certain point, it's like I had to. Because what's the alternative? The alternative for me would have been divorce, never seeing my kid, my health being in peril. I mean, all these things are like, real consequences. And I mean, there's serious consequences. And I think it can be easy. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's just busy. It's going to slow down in December and everything's going to be all right. But then April comes around again. And then as you're getting older, I mean, I couldn't do it anymore. And that's really what drove it. It was out of desperation. And of course, I want to sit here and say, oh, is this just a well thought out plan? But at a certain point, you're just like, man, if I don't do something, I don't know how I can go on. And so then I'm going to call Mark. So that's what I did.
And for me, like, I think Reed was the same. Like when you're like the breadwinner of your family, when, paying the bills relies on what you're doing. Like for me, I always had this fear, like, what if I break my ankle? What if I end up in hospital? What if I get in a car accident? What if I need to go, both of my parents are getting older. What if I need to go spend time with them? Like, I can't just step away from the business for 3-4 weeks and like it just keep going. Like, as one person, that would just literally stop. So now that we've built this kind of system and platform, if we need to take vacations or see someone or you get sick, like the wheel keeps spinning without you. So that to me is like the biggest benefit.
No, for sure. For sure. I mean, I remember, Mark, it was actually like the second week after we merged, or like right around literally as we were doing it, I had to be in Palm Springs for a week to deal with the health crisis with my mom. And I knew that you had to handle, even though we had literally just merged our businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And the relief to be able to do that was, you know, it's just, you know, immeasurable.
Yeah, totally.
Cool. All right, let's jump into a few questions before we run out of time. First question, which I told you Nima asked earlier, was about brokerage deals. What are some of the most creative ways to provide good brokerage deals? Discounts based on number of listings, discounts per listings. Is there an industry standard or your prices, sorry, no matter how many jobs you give me?
I think it depends. Like, we have two brokerage deals going right now and they're very different from each other. So it just kind of depends what that brokerage is looking for and what you can offer as a company.
Yeah, I think with one of them, we were talking and they were saying, look, we want to change up our media needs and we want to be able to add video to every single shoot. And look, you guys, you know, you do about 65% of our shoots. And so, you know, we definitely want to work together with figuring out what this new video product is and everything else. And, you know, I don't know, our budget is this, our budget is that. And I said to them, I'm like, well, you know, we can probably do it for what we've been doing it for now. But if we were to do, say, 100% of your listings, well, you know, maybe we could give you a little better price. So and they said, oh, really? And so now we're going to do 100% of their listings. And we gave them a slightly better price. I mean, not really even that much better. Mm-hmm. And so it really depends on the brokerage. And then, you know, Mark, you can talk to what our other brokerage deal is. And it's very, very different.
That's different. Yeah, it's a brokerage that's spread out across, you know, multiple regions, and they're not interested in video at all, whereas the other brokerage was, we want video, we want everyone to have a consistent video. This other one's not even mentioning video. They didn't even pinch us on price. They just really want consistent photography and marketing for all of their listings. And we're not going to be exclusive, but we're setting up some systems in the back end with Aereo and things that we use like that to make it simple. He just wants a simple, clean system that agents can log in, order shoots, and get a consistent product.
Yeah.
Because they have it set up where it's all over the place. They just don't have anything consistent.
Right. And they're going to set it up that if an agent uses us, the brokerage will subsidize their shoot by a certain amount. I don't even know how much, but probably $100 or something like that. Whereas this other brokerage deal, the one that I was speaking about, the brokerage pays for photos and video for every shoot. So yeah, it's really just on the individual brokerage, but I would just do whatever you can, because I think the volume is what's the important thing. And you can take less per shoot if you're going to have that volume. And the more shoots you can do, the bigger base that is to give your team hours. Because I think one of the things we struggle with in kind of staffing up is having enough work for everybody. And obviously our business is so seasonal. And so obviously in April and May, you're going to be able to give people a ton of hours. But, you know, if you have enough shoots in November, I mean, that's the thing that's really going to be able to keep you afloat. So occasionally, you know, we're having shoots where we're not going to make that much money on, but it's hours for our employees. And that's almost as important as making a profit, because your team is such a big part of scaling your business that there's just certain moments where you're just taking jobs just so your team can have hours that then are paid. You know, and Mark and I don't have to make a single dime on those shoots.
Yeah, just so they're happy and they stay around and they'll be there for you in March and April when it comes around.
Because, you know, yeah, occasionally we'll get a request for a shoot 2 hours away and we're like, well, if we pay mileage and we pay the hours to get there, we're not going to make any money. But my God, that's 5 hours that we can give our employee on this week where we have 8 shoots total. Great. Go do it. You know, it's that kind of thing.
Mm. So speaking of these brokerage players, I'm gonna go into another question that Todd had on that. Are you able to get these brokerage deals only because now you have a team? Meaning, as a solo shooter, are these sort of deals that you can never even approach brokerages about because you just couldn't handle what they wanted to
get? Well, I think you can get them as a solo shooter if it's a fake it till you make it situation where you walk in there and be like, yeah, I can handle that. And then they say, okay, great, let's do it. And then you have to walk out of there and then, you know, post a job listing on Indeed like 10 minutes later and try to staff up. I think for our brokerage deals that we're working on right now, I think they are the product of kind of years of networking, years, you know, the relationships that we've had for years that we're leveraging right now. But I think as we walk in to other brokerages, right? Because this is just the beginning, right? We're going to get these two and then we're going to go and try to get as many brokerage deals as we can, because that is such a great pathway to kind of building the foundation to scale your business, that we're going to come in and say, well, every time we go in, we have five shooters, we have six shooters. So we have the capacity that when you need to shoot tomorrow, we're going to be able to send someone out there. And I think that's a very powerful way to walk in and have value to those brokerages. Because what's the one thing that realtors need? They need it now. And we can provide that because we have the team.
Yeah, I couldn't even fathom doing that by myself. And it's just like, what I'm seeing too, like talking to brokers, is they're using us and our services and our ability to perform them quickly, like as leverage to retain agents in their brokerage and attract new agents, because there's new brokerage models popping up like EXP and Compass and the agency and all these, it's just expanding, and they're trying to hold on so tight to agents and recruit more. But if, you know, like this one brokerage deal, if they can offer free photos and video for every agent on their listing, then it helps them to attract more agents. And that's all they're really about, is, you know, attracting agents and keeping their listings and their numbers up. So,
Mark, that's such an amazing point, because I think what we talk about in terms of what our business is, right? What we do, we don't, you know, it goes back to, we do not market real estate, we market realtors. But when you're talking on a brokerage level, it's a different conversation, because what you're talking about to the broker is not that we market realtors, is that we help you attract realtors. Because working with us, making us a preferred partner, making us the one who do all the media for your company, helps you retain and attract new realtors. Because every broker, their goal is to have more realtors, because the more realtors they have, the more transactions they're going to do. So you want to think about, when you're trying to sell your products to a certain person or a certain, you know, a certain type of person, you want to think about what the needs are of that person. So a realtor needs a certain thing that a broker doesn't need, and vice versa. So The broker wants to attract the agents. The realtors want to attract home buyers and homeowners, right? It's a subtle difference, but it's a difference.
Yeah, it's a slightly different conversation.
Makes sense. All right, let's see what else we have. Zach Johnson is trying to stir trouble.
So are you guys, Brian, when you pitched this to us.
Zach, I'm skipping that.
This was going to be a bit of a conversation about the merits of scaling versus solopreneurs like you guys. What's the case for being a solopreneur?
First of all, is that actually a word, solopreneur?
Okay. No, it's not. It's just flamby.
I never heard it.
Flamby is not a word either, Rich, but I think you use that a lot.
So that's an interesting
enjoy. Was that a middle finger?
Oh, that was a sideways. That for you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I stuck.
Expression is
I get you. But anyway. Let's go on. We're not going to ask Zach Johnson's question,
to answer your question, sorry, quickly, what are the benefits to going solo? If you're doing volume like you guys were, I don't think there are any benefits, to be honest.
Right.
If you're doing more luxury, sort of where I was at the end of my real estate career, where it's higher paying jobs, shooting 3 to 5 houses a week, I don't think there's any downside to that. To be honest, I think if you're comfortable with the money you're making doing that, then great. I mean, look, we spoke briefly where probably I would say 85 to 90% of the work I'm doing now is retail. And I'm in the process of scaling that up from the retail side, kind of taking inspiration from you, but doing something a little different where, and I think, did we speak about this, Reed? I don't remember.
I think so. Yeah. Well, you came out in LA. We hung out. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm coming back, by the way.
All right. Well, let's do it.
All right. We got some mezcal waiting at that. I'm shooting the same store. So.
No way.
Exactly. Well, we'll go to that little
Mexican place.
Mexican place. Anyway, so without getting into too much detail, I'm in the process of starting a photo agency specializing in retail. And the goal there is, because I'm traveling like a lunatic, well, minimal compared to some other people, but you know, I'm traveling 3 to 4 times a month for shoots, and there's only so much time I can continue to do that. Now, my trips are not long. They're 2 days at a time, so it's not so bad, but you know, I can't be doing that when I'm 60 years old. It's just going to take its toll on me. So,
Rich liked that one.
Yeah, like
in, my fingers stuck again.
Yeah, but Rich, you don't trust
with you. When you get 65, you can't straighten your finger. Okay, sorry.
Anyway,
better.
So I have a question for you, Brian. Like, you don't have a fear of like getting injured or needing to take time off to take care of family, or like what happens if you get sick or injured?
I do have that fear. And the irony is, my partner in this business is somebody else who also exclusively shoots retail. And we met through one of the brands we both shoot for. Mm-hmm. So at this point, what would I do? Maybe probably call him and see if he can get in there for me. Until we get this thing going. But yeah, that is a fear. You know, there was a tragedy in my family a month ago, Rich, you know about that, which I don't want to get into. And I couldn't work for about 10 days. Mm-hmm. So it was rough, and I had to push things off, and people understood and whatever the case was. But yeah, it's a genuine fear what can happen. And that's part of the reason I'm looking to scale this business, to start this scaling version of what I'm doing now in the retail. But in the same sense, my biggest inspiration for doing that is to be able to, first off, get more clients, because I think the type of brands that I'm dealing with on a global billion-dollar scale, it's easier for them to hire a company or an agency versus an individual person. I think they'd be more willing to drop and take my calls or take my emails if I'm coming from an agency perspective versus, hey, I'm Brian Berkowitz from Long Island, New York. You have any business for me?
Yeah, sure.
But on top of that, yeah, it's you know, especially, you know, one of the benefits, as you guys know now a year in from doing this podcast, is I have such a wide network of photographers that I know that are exceptional across this country, mm-hmm. that, you know, maybe I don't need to fly to LA for that shoot in 3 weeks. Maybe I
can. Marco Media could service you, Brian.
Yeah, but no, but in all seriousness, and I'm not there yet, but yeah. I'm hoping I will be there within the next year or two, where, you know, I can call you guys and say, hey, I have a shoot in LA for so-and-so client. For me to fly out, it's not worth it, you know.
Yeah,
go take care of it for me. And you know, when I'm shooting retail, my process is so easy and my workflow is so easy because I need an easy process. I'm given an hour or 2 hours in the store to get anywhere from 10 to 30 shots, so you need an easy workflow. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Although the jobs are easier, there's no staging, there's no lighting, there's none of that stuff. So yeah, but to answer your question, Mark, yeah, there is a fear there. And now I'm just kind of dealing with it. And
Ryan, where can you find that easy workflow? That sounds great.
Yes.
There may be a course about that. I don't know.
Yeah, there's enough freaking courses out there.
Yeah. Never enough courses. Come on, right?
Never enough courses.
All right. Let's.
No, I think it's great. But you know, Brian, it's kind of like when I'm out of town, I just have several photographers I can contact. So you can either do that, and when I do that, I let them, I don't have them work for me. I just have them do shoots for my clients. So that's, you know, the other side of the coin. It could be a little risky, but for me it's not, but I can see it being a little risky, giving up your business because you might lose that client. But you know, it's, we all find ways of dealing with things.
That's how Mark and I first started working together, is I think I fed him, I was out of town for, you know, 4 days. And so God forbid the realtor couldn't wait. So I was like, oh, you know, call this guy, Mark. I think he does good work. And then Mark did not steal the client. So
yeah.
That's so honorable, Mark.
Yeah. I mean, I used to have someone I worked with too, but I would kind of still schedule it and contact with the realtor and send him out. He would send me the photos, I would deliver them. So I was on vacation and not shooting, but I was still doing all the admin stuff. I was still working, and it was a total nightmare. Not sustainable.
Anyway, before we close out, there's a couple of things we want to cover. We also have like six or seven more questions that we're just, we're not going to get a chance to get to because we're running low on time. So I'm going to invite, and I'm going to do this without asking you, so don't shoot me, guys, that people that have these questions to either email or message us or any of the Upmarket guys, and I'm sure they'll be happy to go in and help you out and answer those questions.
Not part of the deal, Brian.
So ignore those emails.
But of course, we're always happy to answer questions. Always, always.
So yeah, so I apologize if we didn't get to your questions. But we do have a bunch still left over that we're going to have to just, unfortunately,
get to. Problem.
So just...
let's hit a few of them.
Thank you, Rich.
Was not expanding or raising your prices contributing factor to y'all's burnout? For someone that has only been in 1 or 2 years, should they look to expand, raise prices before they burn out? I guess burnout's the key word here.
But, yeah, I mean, we always raise prices every year. We're about to roll out a new price increase, you know, this week. Like, it's something that we've always done, and it's always, we've thought, oh, if we lose some business, it's okay, but we never seem to lose business no matter how high we keep pushing our rates. So that didn't really alleviate any of the stress or take shoots off of us.
Yeah, I mean, I think you would have to drastically raise prices to appreciably lose a ton of business. And I think, you know, everyone is always scared about raising prices, and I have been there. I mean, I have been super scared about raising prices, and then I found every single time that I raise prices, all I do is get busier. So, you know, yeah, I guess the question is, yeah, can you raise those prices, and does that alleviate the stress? No, because it didn't actually trim our shoot load enough or at all. And so maybe we just needed to raise them higher, but I'm definitely an advocate always of raising prices, as uncomfortable as that can be.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Before we close out, let's have a final word from our last sponsor, PhotoUp, and then we have a special offer from the guys at Upmarket. Don't go away.
Let's face it, editing sucks. It sucks time, it sucks money, and it sucks resources away from your business and your family. That's why PhotoUp has changed the game. PhotoUp allows you to work one-on-one with an experienced editor that is 100% dedicated to you and your business. Photographers with a PhotoUp dedicated editor say their edits are good or amazing 98.6% of the time. They're able to deliver images to their clients faster, and they get editing as low as 50 cents per image.
Really? As low as 50 cents an image?
You heard that right. Editing as low as 50 cents per image. Ready to find your dedicated editor? Sign up for a free PhotoUp account at PhotoUp.net and send trial images to 3 different dedicated editors. That's right. Try 3 different editors absolutely free.
3 for free. I like that.
So today, when you're all done shooting spaces, head over to PhotoUp.net and hit the sign up button or click the PhotoUp logo on the Shooting Spaces website.
And don't forget to tell them Rich and Brian sent you.
All right. Thank you guys at PhotoUp. And before we go and say our goodbyes, you guys have a course you just released a few weeks ago. We don't want this to be a sales pitch for the course, but you do have an offer for some listeners. So why don't you tell us about the course? I have it. I've watched it. It's awesome. I haven't watched the newest videos you added because you drip fed some of the information, but I've watched a good chunk of them. And like I said, that inspired me to get this my own scaling business going, a little bit different from real estate, but nevertheless. So what do you got going on over there?
I love that. So we have a course on how to scale your real estate photography and media business. And so, you know, you can dip your toe in. If anything we've said has resonated even just a little bit, you can dip your toe in and go to upmarketcourse.com/webinar. And we have a free webinar there, which is kind of actually my talk from PMRE, kind of repurposed for a webinar audience, which kind of goes to the ins and outs of why and how you might want to start scaling your business. And then Mark, that feeds into the course, right? You want to talk about that?
Yeah. So you can find the course at upmarketcourse.com. And Reed and I kind of sat down and distilled everything that we've learned on our journey, but we also brought in experts. We have a realtor, a marketing expert, a bookkeeper, social media people, a legal analyst. So we basically pulled together a bunch of experts to give you all the tools, the fundamentals that you need to kind of think about as you're growing and scaling your real estate media business.
Yeah, and that's upmarketcourse.com. And look,
or the link.
We love the Shooting Spaces audience. We love it. We have a coupon code, 35% off, if you use the code SS35. And here's the thing, what I want to tell you, SS35 to get 35% off the course. And don't be a fool. Use this. It expires on April Fool's Day. You can you have all the way through April Fool's Day. So even if you're feeling like a fool at the end of that day, you use SS35 at upmarketcourse.com. You're going to get 35% off the course. Look, Brian Berkowitz just said it inspired him to scale his damn business. So
Not even real estate. So it's, Well, the point is it's applicable to whatever kind of business you're running. Whatever kind of business you're running. I mean, obviously some of the specifics, like I know you have modules on, approaching and marketing to agents. So that doesn't apply to me, but nevertheless, the concepts are the same.
Yeah. And we lay it out like, look, Mark and I have never once said that we know everything there is to know about scaling your business. We don't. And that's why we brought in the experts. But what we do is we talk about all the things that you need to think about. We don't tell you the decisions that the answers to the questions, but we tell you the questions that you need to consider for yourself as you're going on that scaling journey, because everyone has a different journey. Everyone has different answers to the questions. It's all about just figuring out that path for yourself. And we want to lay that groundwork for you.
Awesome. And go watch the webinar, even if you're on the fence. It's free, right? The webinar?
They're absolutely free. You just got to throw in your email address. You get a free webinar. I think there's some good stuff in there, and hopefully it will inspire you. Even if you don't want to do the course, I think there's some stuff in there that you can really find applicable to help grow your business.
Cool. Great. So we'll post a link in the show notes to both the course and the direct link to the webinar.
Thank you, guys.
Awesome. Appreciate it, guys.
Cool. So, yeah, and shout out to Shooting Spaces, the original real estate photography podcast. We love you guys. You guys have been nothing but amazing.
Well, little known fact, we are not the original.
No, we are not the original.
Mostly original.
They're the OGs. It's an honor to be here.
We're maybe the longest lasting.
There you go. For sure.
You are, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know how many episodes you had.
But honestly, you have been incredibly generous to us, incredibly generous to not... be defensive about an upstart podcast coming in to the space, because I think you guys have your heart in the right place. You want to help everyone out there. You want to help them grow their business, grow their skills. That's what you've been about from the beginning. That's what you're about now. We love you guys. We are so proud to be here and be a part of the Shooting Spaces world. So thank you so much.
Big hug, guys.
We're in with the rock stars.
Yeah, and
definitely.
Oh, sorry, my fingers.
Turn those fingers upside down and let's go have a frown. No, excellent. No, we feel the same way, though, about, there's never enough education out there. And, you're helping people and we're helping people. And, a lot of people want to do podcasts. And as you know, it gets really tough to do it after a year or two. But, it's part of it is enjoyable helping people and having notoriety and people, and it's worthwhile in the end. We sell a few things, we have some good clients and customers and it's all good. So thank you for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, it's been our pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Like I said, Mark and Reed, Upmarket Podcast, Upmarket Media. What am I missing? Upmarket Course. Upmarket every day. Just type Upmarket whatever. It's going to come up.
Up your damn market, okay?
Up your damn market. There you go. You buy the URL because we're going quick. Okay, and I just want to say thank you to our sponsors. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Reed. Thank you, Mark. And as always, go out and shoot some spaces.